B-Pod Studios.
Bones.
All right. Now, the big question is, the Phillies, can they have enough in the second half of the season to actually get into the playoffs? And our next guest will explain that, because it's a really interesting story that the Phillies of this year could be the Phillies of 2007 that made that great run in the second half with a few strategic moves. Let's welcome in the man who covers the Phils and base Major League Baseball for the Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bob Brookover. Bob.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Well, let's talk about this. This is a very interesting concept here that I don't think many fans are thinking about. You related this kind of a run to 2007, which I come to the conclusion you believe that it is possible that they could do kind of the same thing.
I believe it's possible because I think there's the core, I think, of this team is talent. I think J.T. Realmuto, it would have helped if McCutchen was here, but Bryce Harper, replacing McCutchen with Jay Bruce was certainly a timely and good thing for this team. And Rhys Hoskins, those four as a core. I think you have a pretty good core, and then you fill in with a Segura and Cesar Hernandez. You know, as much as he can drive people crazy, is among the better second basemen in the game in the top 10, I would say. So you have that core that I think underachieved in the first half. Which to me, that's the comparison to 07. They really badly underachieved. And there were a lot of injuries on that 07 team as well. I didn't even mention that John Lieber was supposed to be in that rotation. He got hurt right away. It was done for the year. Garcia, they thought was really a major upgrade for that rotation. He got hurt and was never the same pitcher ever again. So that's where the similarities are. You know, this team had a decent bullpen at the start of the season. As soon as David Robertson went down, there was a domino effect there, and then a bunch of other guys got hurt, and that really hurt that bullpen in an era where you really need a good bullpen. So those are the similarities to me that you can say. Now, there were some big moves made that weren't really blockbuster trades, but big moves that really helped that 07 team get over the hump.
But yeah, those moves were made by a very savvy baseball man named Pat Gillick. So, I don't know if Klentak has had that stature yet. He still has to prove that. But you believe that the Phillies can add what it would take?
I do, yes. I think there are things they can do. And they don't have to be major things. I think it's just going to help if David Robertson comes back. I mean, he's a bona fide, terrific major league reliever who really helps that bullpen. You put him and Naris together at end of games. Now you have something going. And I did a complimentary piece about the 10 losses. And if you looked at them, a lot of those were, Juan Nicasio coming in. A lot was put on him that wouldn't have to be put on him. That's the place, but you need a. He's gonna have to find a starter of some upgrade here in the second half.
All right, and that's where I want to get to. The starter of an upgrade, like the Phillies in 2007 grab Kyle Loesch. This Philly team has to do better than Kyle Loesch type. No.
Not if that guy comes in and goes 9-2 in his 11th.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
and the funny thing is Kyle Loesch didn't pitch lights out. The one place the 07 team was a better offensive team than this team, even if the 19 team performs up to its capabilities. I think the 07 team had a little more pop and a little more a little bit more established to them. But I think whoever you get has to just make it. So, and if that's night, the offense can put up four runs, has to be a win. Maybe he gives up three in six innings all those nights, but he can't give up any more than that. He's got to be better. Really, this is the bottom line. He's got to be better than Nick Pivetta and Vince Velasquez. That's the bottom line.
All right. Now, will that, are the Phillies, like what extent, how far are they willing to go to get that type of guy? Like, is Adonis Medina in play? He's obviously the top prospect. Would they go that high, or are they looking for something smaller than that?
I think it depends on the return. If you're going to give up Adonis Medina and Spencer Howard's the other guy, even though he didn't pitch much first half, he's considered, I think, even ahead of Medina by a lot of people in the organization as an arm. If you're going to do that, you better get a guy who you've got control at least through this year and next year, you know, in order to make a trade like that. You know, if you're going to get a guy who's just a rental, you're not going to get Adonis Medina or Spencer Howard from the Phillies. Damon Jones is another one who's come on this year and pitched really well at Clearwater and Reading. You're not going to get those guys unless, I don't think, this is the way I think the Phillies are thinking, that unless you give up a guy they've got control beyond this year.
All right. Now, let me ask you about Arrieta, because they're going to try to go through this thing with him and the bone chips. With that in mind, don't they need two starters? Can they count on Arrieta?
No, I don't think you can. You know, my initial thought when I heard, you know, 85% is better than, you know, what we have at Triple A right now from Gabe Kapler saying that is, yeah, well, the Phillies thought that with Roy Halladay in like 2013. They thought, well, if we just put Roy out there, and, you know, that's better than not having Roy out there. Well, when a pitcher can't throw anymore, it doesn't matter what his track record says, you know, he can't throw anymore, and he's not 85% or anything. He just can't do what he used to do. And if what we saw from Jake Arrieta in his last start in New York is what we're going to see going forward, then that's not going to be good enough either. And yeah, you're right. And at that point, you need two of them. And to me, at that point, maybe you bring an Adonis Medina to the big leagues right now, and maybe you're rushing him, but teams have brought guys from Double A before and had to, I mean, a year ago they did it with Sir Anthony Dominguez in a relief role, and it worked out well for them. And maybe that's the move that the Phillies are going to have to make, especially if they need two starters.
All right. So if they don't need two, they're going to have to get Greinke. All right, I mean, really, you're either going for two or you're going for Greinke here.
Greinke would be a good one to get. It'd be a great one to get.
All right, so what in your view, offensively has to happen over the second half of the year? Like, in 2007, Burrell had a monster back end of the year. Are we thinking the same thing has to happen for Harper to carry this team?
Harper needs to do what he did last year, which was really, I think he hit 300 in the second half last year, and he really came on strong and had like a 970 OPS in the second half. Yeah, that's what they need from Harper. Hoskins has, you know, he had a great second half that started, was the start of his major league career in 2017. And then he had a better power second half in 2018 than he did in the first half last year. So they need him to come on power wise. They need Bruce to keep playing at the same level he has been. You need JT Realmuto to, J.T. Realmuto had a great first half last year. They need him to have that in the second half offensively. You need those guys. You need guys. And I was looking at it today. They're not a team with a lot of guys who have had great second halves in their career. But this is the second half they need to have. And they are a team, you know, I talk to these guys, and when you got a Jay Bruce and a Bryce Harper, even though he's only 26, that doesn't panic, which that reminds me a little bit of those great Phillies teams. No matter how things went in the first half of the season, they always felt like they were good enough that they could make it all work out in the second half. I think you have a little bit of that with this team, with guys like Bruce and Realmuto and Harper and even Hoskins. And some of those Phillies teams, I was just looking at this today, that during that run, they were like a 550, played 550 ball in the first half of those seasons of 5 years they won, and they played 622 ball in the second half of those seasons. And they were just a team that was built on confidence that way. And I see some of that in this team, especially the core guys.
All right, we'll see what happens. By the way, you had the ultimate, talking to Bob Brooker over the Inquirer, you had the ultimate bust out name in your story today. How soon do we forget Tadaguchi? Why, that's the greatest name ever. Tadaguchi came in for the injured Chase and did a nice job.
This is a funny, very funny story. So I was talking to Rich Doobie today because I'm working on a Halladay story ahead of the Hall of Fame. And that Michael Doobie, his son, is the player they traded to get Aguchi.
Right.
So he said, you know, I never told anybody this, but he goes, I gave my son part of my share because he was the guy we gave up for.
That Aguchi, man. What a player. All right, yeah. Bob, listen, man, back at it. So have a good second half. We'll talk to you.
All right, see you, Mike.
All right, there he is, Bob Brooker. How about Tadaguchi?
That is
grabbed it from the White Sox. He had a good second half.
You know,
he had some key hits.
That whole team to beat and that great comeback with the Mets in 07 got forgotten a lot because of what happened in 08 and then 09 getting back. But 07 was a magical year that's kind of gone now.
Yes. It really was. I mean, Tadakus, who's the other Asian guy that came from the Cardinals and got some hits for him, too? The outfielder?
Yeah. Oh.
Sotoguchi, wasn't it? Wasn't it Sotoguchi?
I was literally, because of the story, I looked at the roster earlier.
I think it was Sotoguchi, and this was Tadakus. Remember him? Light hitting guy, the very
thin
guy.
Yeah, that's what it was. Boone is just confirmed.
Sotoguchi.
Yes.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Kevin and Clementon. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Kev?
I was just telling Charles, me and him went to school together. He graduated in 98. I graduated in 97. And I was trying to tell him with that whole pumpkin thing, he's going to go. I don't care what he says. Once they bring it, it might not be with the missus, but once they bring that school field.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.